Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast.
Minisode! Hi.
3, 2, 1, minisode! Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm great. Second cup of coffee. Sitting on
my
bed.
Love that. That's actually my second cup of coffee as well. Cheers to us.
Cheers. It might treat us better than the gin tins treated me. And welcome, Patreon listeners, to our minisode.
Whoop, we love you. Whoop.
So, this is
quick
a more...
disclaimer.
Yeah, this is a more freestyle episode, we would say. Rock the mic. We're not going to edit it, really. So let's see how that goes for us. Yeah.
We'll see.
Any complaints, let us know.
If you just hear like a... and then it comes back in, then it's because somebody said something really bad and we need to cut it out.
As if I don't cut really bad stuff out of our podcast all the time. Transition is seamless, thank you.
Your transition is seamless. What I'm saying is this one, it's going to be a bit more literal cutthroat. Like, nope, quick, cut it out. We welcome you, Patreon listeners, but also we welcome any ideas for minisodes. Like, we're happy to just take anything on. So this one is based on a question that, believe it or not, we get all the time and that I don't think we've ever answered.
No.
And I don't think we'll have answered it, sorry, by the end of this episode. And the question is, what's your favourite cookbook?
It's the natural response when you tell people that you have a podcast on cookbooks, as I like to do, you know, daily in the supermarket before people even ask.
Excuse me. I just need to let you know something.
I've got a podcast about cookbooks. people always ask, but it's really hard. I think, like, within the season we have answered, or within season one, we kind of both, you know, answered that. A lot of it was Moro, right, for season one.
Yes.
As in a kind of, like, dark horse. But outside of the world of the lists and contemporary female chefs, we thought it would be fun to share a couple of cookbooks that we like and we've never really talked about on the pod.
Yeah, and that are a big part of our lives, I guess, and...
You're a big part of my life.
You are a big part of my life. Oh my goodness.
Shall I go first?
Yes.
So we're talking about two each, right? That's the plan.
Yes.
So I thought, you know what? You're going to be shocked that there's no Ottolenghi in here.
There's no Ottolenghi?
I thought really hard about it. But if the rule was that we hadn't really, weren't really allowed to talk about them on, or we hadn't really talked about them on the pod before, which I have, which is Ottolenghi sweet. I've mentioned it many times. I thought I was going to leave that one out because it's already clear. That is one of my top books. But both of mine, nobody would be shocked to hear, are baking books.
I love it.
The first one that has just served me so well and continues to do so is One Tin Bakes by Ed Kimber.
Hey!
So, yeah, you have it too, right?
Yes.
And the premise is Ed Kimber was, we were talking about Nadia Hussein for this most recent episode, but Ed Kimber was also, who was on the Bake Off, but Ed Kimber was also on the Bake Off, I think earlier on, I think like one
was
of the first.
Is he the first ever?
Yeah, no. maybe. Yes. Great guy. What a guy. I just love his recipes so much. He's got a Patreon too. And it looks like he just does really interesting stuff and really interesting combinations. And so the premise of this book is that you can make all of the recipes in the same tin, which is a 9x13-inch tin. I think I did mention on the podcast before that I somehow bought the wrong size tin and then just like couldn't make any of the recipes work. And then people at work kindly bought me two of the right size tin for my birthday, which has just like opened up a whole new world of recipes. And this book is just so good. I think one of the first things that I made was actually for you and our friends Becca and Paula in Kew Gardens when I made those, like, I think it was like raspberry cheesecake slices.
Yes.
Which were great.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah, there's just so many. There's a berry almond frangipane tart that I've made before that is really good. I think everything just looks quite satisfying because it's in this like big rectangular like slab, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's just,
yeah,
the photography is beautiful. There's tahini chocolate chip cookie bars that I've made before, which obviously tahini I'm obsessed with and is great with everything. But the one of the standout recipes for me is, there's a chocolate and cardamom carrot cake with brown butter cream cheese frosting, which I've made several times, but I've always left the chocolate out because I'm just not there yet. And it was like, you know, chocolate's expensive and stuff like that. But the carrot cake core recipe is, I think, the best carrot cake recipe.
Ooh.
It's delicious. And you put in ground cardamom. There's oil in there, so it's really moist. I made it for my friend Louise, when she was in the hospital, she thought she was about to have her baby, but Ayla didn't come along quite then. And the nurse, I made it so that like the nurses could all have some and everything. And they loved it. It's just the brown butter in the cream cheese frosting is a total game changer as well. It's an incredible recipe. I would like challenge anyone to not like it.
I know you've made it a few times and I feel like you started making it since I moved away and therefore I've not had a chance to try it. But it's, every time you make it, you send a pic or it just looks so good.
It's so good. And it was the carrot cake that I made for the wedding cake that I did yesterday as well. I used that recipe as the basis. I've done the milk chocolate caramel sheet cake as well. I don't, as we know, don't love chocolate cake, but that is a really good one. And the milk, it's a milk chocolate salted caramel ganache on top. That shit is like crack. It's like
so
dime
great.
Bars or something. It's just an incredible book. I keep coming back to it every time because it's just great for those kind of crowd pleaser days. If it's like a barbecue or party or something like that, you know, there's going to be enough
vegan stuff in there as well, right?
Yeah,
and free stuff. It's all just marked.
It's just fantastic. It's
also, I think,
book.
Because of the I just have this book so I can talk about it as well.
Yeah.
I think because it's all for one tin. It's so well researched and tested. And I haven't made them, but I'm desperate to. He has a riff on the tartine morning buns, right?
Yes.
Morning buns. And they look so good.
Oh, it's really varied as well. Like, you know, you've got ice cream sandwiches and stuff in there. And you've got like a rice pudding. But it's, you know, just knowing that you don't have to run out and buy tons of equipment is just the best thing. There's like huge thing of vanilla slices. I've got so many egg yolks left over. Maybe that's what I'll make. Oh, there's a grapefruit meringue pie. That better than what you made. Anyway.
That man needs to do a savory baking book. That's my hot take.
Yes.
He's got three books now, right?
Yeah.
Wanton Bakes Easy. And he's just put a new one called Small Batch Bakes out.
Which love that. Love that concept. Just genius.
Yeah, just make 4 or 5 cookies. Or he has the morning bun recipe, right? I sent it to you on TikTok. Where it's just, he just makes 6. Or it's morning buns or something. It's not kind of buns, it just makes 6.
Yeah.
Love that for him.
He is great. How do you say that word? Ganduya. Ganduya. Ganduya.
What is it?
You know the hazelnutty chocolatey thing?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, I hope you enjoyed me trying to say that. But I made the Ganduya blondies as well from here, which are great. They just have loads of hazelnut and chocolate. Oh, it's just a great book. Anyone who likes baking and likes bringing things, baked things to like houses and work and stuff like that should have a copy of this book.
Yes, agree.
I would say. What's your first one?
My first one is, you'll be surprised to know, I don't have any baking books.
Shocker. Is it Asian?
One of them isn't.
Okay.
One of them isn't. So my first one is, I think I've mentioned this on the, I have mentioned it on the pod, but I haven't really talked about it, but I was like, I don't think we'll ever talk about it on the pod. It's The Food Lab by Kenji Lopez Art. My original food bae. Love him.
How have I looked at this in your house? I would love to look at this.
It's giant. You should. I'm not bringing it to you. It's so big.
It's that or the baby.
Yeah. I know. I think it weighs more than my baby. It's got more sharp edges. It's 1,000 pages long.
Holy mother.
It's massive. And so the tagline is better home cooking through science. So the idea is it's like a science-based cookbook, but not in like a Heston way, but in a, all the things you love, he kind of explains how to cook them to their best, but he explains why.
Yes.
So I love Kenji, and you don't need this book to see how good his recipes are. Like he worked for Serious Eats for a really long time. Yeah. He writes a column for the New York Times. And he's really good on Instagram as well. He shares a lot of stuff. But it's so in-depth. I think he is a trained scientist.
Yes. Didn't we talk on the podcast before about the, like, scrambled eggs recipe that he had where you made, like, a slurry with, and that was his word, with corn flour and water or something, and it was meant to make the best scrambled eggs. I don't think I ever did that, but I really wanted to.
Yeah, he is all about that. I mean, he really and this book is that. It's him describing his process, like showing you all the different ways you can make something. So I was just looking before we started recording about at the mashed potato section. So it's like that. It's not like there is recipes in here, there's lots of nice recipes, but a lot of it is like there's a stuff about knife skills. And yes, the mashed potato one, for example, he talks about potatoes, he talks about starch and how that works, and all the different ways that you can, like, mash them. Food processor, a masher, a fork, you know, all the different ways. And what that achieves. And it's got pictures as well.
Vic just raised her eyebrows being like, and that is my ultimate seal of approval.
And that, Kenji. And I think, so I just noticed that I've got a folded down page for Italian American pasta sauce, but more than anything, Mr. Kenji Lopez out has improved my chicken cooking more than anything. And everyone can cook a chicken. It's fine. But
can they cook it well?
Yes, that's it. And like, he talks about like, breaking down a chicken
in here. You're a piece of shit.
How to like when you spatchcock a chicken and roast it and how that's better than, yeah. And so come to my house for a roast chicken. It's probably like that. And also, I don't think I looked before, it's not in this book, but if anybody likes chicken wings mm-hmm. out there, sorry, Hannah, it's not for you.
No, but I mean, I used to love them. I get it.
Yeah. He has this oven, these oven baked wings that taste like fried chicken wings, and they take a long time, and it involves baking soda and lots of drying out of the wings and leaving them in the fridge. But they're a game changer. Like, they're so good. And it's just clever.
Very clever. Do you have a hot tip that you like to share with our Patreon listeners on what a good chicken, a full chicken cooking that he teaches you?
Spatchcock.
That's it. Just break down the chicken.
Spatchcock the chicken and then put it onto an already hot pan in the oven. So put your, like, I use my cast iron, for example. So put that in the oven and heat it up.
Right.
And then put the spatchcock chicken in it. So then it crisps up the bottom.
Genius.
Put it in the oven and then you turn the oven down. So you put the oven on really high.
Mm.
When once the chicken's in, you turn it down.
Okay. Gotcha.
And that is it.
That's a good tip.
Great book. He's got another book out that I don't have. It was on my birthday list, but it didn't appear.
did I hear about this list?
No. It wasn't a list. I always mentioned to Stephen, my husband, I'm always like, well, this is a book that I want. This is, and he has a little list in his phone.
So when
people ask him, it's called, I want to say it's called School of Wok, but I feel like it's not called School of Wok.
Oh, God.
Because it's about, it's about a wok. It's about cooking a wok.
Right. That sounds like somewhere like I would eat like drunkenly as a student. Lads, we're going to School of Wok. Come on.
It's a brilliant book. And it's just a really good reference book. So you don't have to read it from cover to cover, but you're like, oh, I want to improve my, I don't know, carrot game or.
Who doesn't?
I know you think about that a lot. And there's everything. I recommend it. Serious Eats and the New York Times is where you can find Kenji's recipes if you don't want to buy the giant book.
Side note, did you see the New York Times cooking is starting to do these like meal kits now?
No.
And it seems to be like curated recipes from one of their chefs or one of their kind of star chefs, and you get the ingredients. It's a bit like HelloFresh, but like done celebrity style. And it's not fresh ingredients, to be fair. It's like pantry stuff.
Right.
How's your pantry? Why do we still use that word? Nobody's got a pantry. I've barely
Americans
got a bedroom.
Yeah. Right? I feel like, you know.
True. But I was really surprised to see that Kenji wasn't one of the people. The three people that they've picked is a nice, like, diverse mix. But, I was surprised that they didn't have Kenji in there. Yeah.
Maybe he said no.
Yeah, it's probably
a big spot. A bit like, you know, he just writes his column and it's always, you know, he doesn't churn out recipes like the rest of them.
Yeah, he wants to just.
Also, New York Times food, if you're listening, I pay you 4 of my hard-earned pounds every month so I can access your recipes. And I still get ads in the app. And I think that is diabolical.
No, man, they are. Money. No, they're rinsing everything. They put Wirecutter behind a paywall. That's a review site behind a paywall. They earn affiliate. Anyway. Let's not.
What's your second book, Hannah?
My second book. It's Honey and Co. The Baking Book.
Oh, I've never seen this book. I know of it, but I've never looked at it.
So I'm going to try not, you know, make this all about me. But when I left Paris and I got a job in Honey and Co., I bought this book before.
I want to get this woman a Netflix rom-com series.
Hey, no, but it all went wrong.
Baking in Paris. Went to work in Honey & Co., one of, you know,
and lasted five
restaurants.
5 long weeks. It wasn't, anyone who knows me knows that I wasn't very happy during that time and felt like a big old failure. As, you know, working in a professional kitchen we'll do that to anybody for the first time, right? And it was just tough going, and I left and I worked in a cafe after that. But in those weeks, I bought this book before I joined, so that I was kind of doing homework before I started. And I just love it. I love, because I guess anything like Middle Eastern or Middle Eastern inspired is always gets a thumbs up from me. And Sarit Packer used to work with Ota Lenghi, so I guess there's that influence as well. Yeah. But the book is just great. Again, if you love baking, I feel like a lot of what I learned in my first couple of weeks there from Sarit, she has in like these first few pages about kind of like baking tips and like how to know when your cake is done and like, you know, general baking terms. She doesn't like over creaming butter and sugar to like the French extent of like, right, you know, it's basically like a cloud. She doesn't really believe in that, and all of that stuff is just at the beginning, and it's great knowledge because she is an incredibly talented baker. But then the recipes themselves are just really interesting and really good, and they're from the restaurant itself. So like, I remember making some of the stuff that was in here, and we would just open up this book, and that's what we used as our like guidance for making stuff. So there's this one that's called a Shura cereal, and I used to have to make that, and it's like these big, it's almost like a granola, but it's with puffed rice and nuts and stuff like that, and it's really spiced. It's got loads of just interesting what's in there. They've got like cinnamon, matleb, cardamom, there's pecans, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, almonds. It's just like a big old nutty fragrant mix, and they sell it by the bag in the deli. It's absolutely delicious. There's a blueberry, hazelnut and ricotta cake that they make like every day, and the recipe's in here, and it's really easy. I've made it for people since then, and it's just, it's a great book. There's a lot to learn from it. I feel like I'm terrible usually at reading the little preamble to a recipe. But for these ones, they're really short and they're really personal, and they're, I don't know, cute. And there's some savory stuff in here as well. There's burekas, which we were talking about yesterday.
Oh, talking about them yesterday.
There's this one thing that I haven't made yet that I'm absolutely dying to. Maybe this weekend is the weekend, but it's Balkan cheese bread. Oh. And it's like this big round tin of, it looks just like, I just don't know what it is, but I want it. It looks delicious. It's got feta and like pecorino and leek and stuff in there. It just looks divine. Mm. But again, you know, I just think it's a, like I've said before, my favorite baking books are the ones that have just interesting combinations. And this book has that by the bucket load. There's babka recipes in there as well. Love a babka. Just, yeah, nice. It's good. We like it. Honey and Coda baking book.
Nice. For anyone who doesn't live in London or know about Honey & Co, it's a, were they a deli first or a restaurant first?
I think they were a deli cafe first. A kind of takeaway cakes and stuff like that. And now they have a couple of restaurants as well. but they have like one centralized kitchen. They just moved venue recently, I think, from their kind of original spot. But they, yeah, they kind of have one central kitchen where they make all of the baked stuff, and that goes out to the deli and the other restaurant and upstairs.
Incredibly well loved in the London food scene, right? Like,
hugely.
And
they have a podcast as well.
Yeah.
And they do these like talks with other chefs in their deli, and they have a column in the Financial Times. And yeah, they're just really well known, well loved. Couple of people. Yeah,
that's the only time I've ever made anything from them, is they had a white chocolate and tahini cake? Is that in that book?
They love white chocolate and tahini. Time. Yeah.
And it was so good. I made it for
something,
my mother-in-law's birthday possibly, or something during lockdown, and it was great.
Yeah, their recipes are really solid, to be fair. They're very well tested. And there was one thing I made, they have like a Greek leek phyllo pie thing on Financial Times, and I've made that a couple of times, and it's excellent recipe.
Great.
And even just how they cook the leeks is just like, oh, why haven't I not been cooking leeks this way? It makes them really tender really quickly. It's just smart cooking. So yeah, I rate them a lot.
Great.
What's your second one, pal?
My second one is, believe it or not, a Japanese one.
I am shocked. Hashi!
Hashi by Reiko Hashimoto, a Japanese cookery course. So good.
So good.
Hashi, which is the word for chopsticks in Japanese.
Ah,
also
fact.
The word for bridge. So, and obviously it's in her name. And I was trying to find out whether the hashi in her name is bridge or another word, but
yeah.
I couldn't find her the Japanese spelling of it. Anyway, this is relevant, but this
that's good knowledge. I'm trying to think of a time when you might be confused whether it meant bridge or chopstick.
I think there's a couple of like tongue twisters or in Japanese about that. Yes, it's so good. Shout out to my friend Stu, who bought me this book. I've got his little note in here that just says, "To Benno from Stuart." And it's probably my most used book
wow.
in this house because we eat a lot of Japanese food, obviously. But I know I talk about Japan a lot, but if there's anything that I could try and convince people about Japanese food, that it's not all like sushi and, you know, takoyaki or whatever, and it's, or katsukari or whatever, and all the things that I would eat on like a day-to-day basis in Japan are in this book and have made my Japanese like day-to-day like cooking like so good. So things like gyudon, which is like a beef bowl, or oyakudon, which I think I've talked about on the podcast before, which is like egg and chicken on rice, like cooked in the same pan with soy and dashi and stuff. Yakitori, which is making
nice.
It's just great. Like, and she has recipes for like all the sauces, and like I think also she has a recipe to like make your own dashi, so like fish stock. But like, I would recommend buying it because why bother? That's what Japanese people do. And it's just, it's simple and it's easy to follow and the results are brilliant. And it's just like really good, like normal Japanese home cooking. And she's great. You should also follow her on Instagram because she's interesting.
Would you say that that's like the definitive, if someone, you know, says that they love Japanese food, would you feel like that's a definitive Japanese cookbook to have?
Yeah, I would say so. If they like, if you've been to Japan, even if you haven't and you've eaten a lot of Japanese restaurants and you just, you like the kind of, you know, at home Japanese kind of housewife, and that's being stereotypical, but, you know, that's it. Tamagoyaki, which I have never tried to make, you know, like the
egg roll,
yeah.
Nice.
Like it's like they have those special pans that you can like roll them into, and I feel like I'd be bad at it, but I would say so. I've got a lot of Japanese cookbooks, believe it or not, and this is the one that's got the most stuff that I recognize in.
Right,
there's a lot of, you know, stuff that, and you know, there's like in every cuisine, there's like levels of Japanese cuisine. Like, you know, you've got the kind of the fancy, you know, all vegetarian stuff that you have when you go to a shrine or a traditional hotel and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is in a lot of those cookbooks, which is great, but like,
it's
who's
not
got the time?
Not the day-to-day kind of.
And the same with like Japanese sweets and then sushi as well. Like, I don't know if anybody just at home on a Wednesday night can get hold of, like, you know, sashimi grade tuna or whatever.
What, you're not doing that?
That is very, I mean, it's very meat heavy, not great for vegetarians.
Yeah.
But
that's so, okay.
Yeah. But that is my most used cookbook, to the point where I'm just calling it now that, I just like move my glasses up, like I'm just gonna say something really nice. My husband says he doesn't eat the kind of food that we cook from that book out at Japanese restaurants anymore because what I cook at home is better.
Oh my god, that is the ultimate praise.
He's like, you've nailed it at home. Why would I bother to buy it?
That's so good.
So you're welcome, everyone.
Give us the name of that one again.
Hashi by Reiko Hashimoto. We'll post, should we post the links to like Amazon for all these books?
Yeah, or not Amazon, you know.
Or, yeah. I imagine local. A lot of, I guess all of them are fairly, they're not, none of them are new cookbooks, right? So you probably get them on eBay or secondhand.
Yes, that's true.
Quite reasonable price.
My Honey & Co. baking book, the bottom is ruined from Pepper the cat.
Oh, yeah.
Like scratching her claws on there. But yeah. Oh, that's fun. I feel like...
Do you have any honourable mentions?
They're all Arthur Lengi.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but he's just bloody great. Sweet. The Shelf Love Kitchen one, Test Kitchen one. I've used that a lot because I feel like it's quite accessible. Yeah, they're all him. It's all, it's only. What about you? Honourable mentions, munchins.
Great question. I feel like I haven't even thought about this. It's a lot of, I feel like a lot of the, but it's a lot of the podcast ones we've done have made it.
Yeah.
I mean, Arthur Lengi Flavour, I feel like is a great one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a great gift. If you have someone that likes cooking.
Yeah, likes flavor. Do you like flavor?
No.
Hey, do you like to party?
Hey. I don't have any other... obviously, you know, all of Jamie Oliver's books.
we mentioned Jamie and Arthur Lengi in almost every episode now. But if you enjoyed this, listeners, dear Patreon listeners, and like Vic said, have any suggestions for other minisodes, we're happy to take them. We're very flexible. We've discussed a few ideas.
Yeah.
Like talking about the Bake Off or that show The Bear, which we're both watching, we thought would be fun. Or like book ones. We've talked often about Sweet Bitter. We've both read Cork Dork and things like that that could be fun for little ones. But also, we want to hear what you think and what you want to hear.
Not fun for little ones, but fun for little episodes. And I'm currently reading this Cork Dork to my 10 month. He's not 10 months old. He's 9 months old. He loves it. I'm training his palate.
He's going to sit the psalm exam and like when he's 5, become the youngest sommelier.
You know, it doesn't matter. He's just spitting the wine out anyways.
Thank you for listening.
But yeah, and we'll post links to the books.
Yeah.
And those people's Instagrams and stuff. Yes. But we love you, dear Patreon listeners.
Yes, thank you for your support. Come back soon. And we'll be back soon. Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye.